Good morning, everyone, or good evening, good night in the United States, and I'm glad that we're all together to continue our work in the dissipation, for the dissipation of glamour. It is a very big problem at the moment, and important decisions are being made. Obviously, some of us are American, and we're following the election preparation, the conventions. And if there's any place where glamour is going to show up in a sixth-rate country, it can be in all the hoopla of the conventions. Well, we haven't so far. It's simply the Republican convention. We have to be very watchful of the sixth-ray personality of the United States. It will have quite a global effect, and it's very polarized, as we know, because this is a Gemini country. And that means that the pairs of opposites are sharply divided from each other. And perhaps in the points of view that are held, there's not so much light of reason entering. There's a lot of passion. So the division of Gemini and the sixth-ray attitude of I am right and you are wrong, without really understanding the other person's position. And of course, we've been working now a little bit on the glamour of hatred and of separateness. They go together, and I think this is one that we're having to face not only in the United States with its very important decision forthcoming, but it is a glamour that we have to face all over the world. There's unspeakable things that are going on right now, and really, really terrible things. And we have to try to understand why this is the case. Is the consciousness so limited that it seems right to kill other people, apparently innocent people, simply to promote one's ideal? We have some very hateful ideologies, and some of the hateful aspects of religion are emerging, and these are the things which drive people away from each other and prevent the unity which is so utterly necessary in today's dangerously nuclear-equipped world. Everybody is threatening everybody else, as if humanity could survive under such a circumstance. DK warned us about the living a life in humanity as if in an armed camp with everybody bristling with weapons. And he warned that if such a condition continued, that there would be, quote, an explosion. Well, that's a very real possibility, and he says it is a possibility which can be definitely visioned. So the work we do in attempting to get into the psyche of humanity and prevent these violent, separative attitudes, doing that through education and through love and through the power of reason, and also through occult techniques, is very, very important at this time. I thought we might begin here with the great invocation, and because it does encapsulate the divine plan for the growth of light, spiritual light, love, and spiritual power and spiritual will in the consciousness and the actions of humanity. And then it reminds us of our responsibility that this must work out through the race of human beings. As it was said in the Agni Yoga teachings, there's this painting of the Christ in the desert, and sort of a dark figure, apparently an earlier incarnation of the Master M, is there with him, and the idea behind it is, by human hands and human feet shall the new age be built. It is our responsibility after all. So let us, in our places, just make sure you're on self-mute, because otherwise we get that incredible everybody speaking at the same time. We'll do the great invocation together, and you can sound it out loud where you are if you care to do that. So we'll begin with the great invocation. We'll sound the Om on the second ray note. One of those notes is a G. And then we'll begin. Om. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Meditation, and it will, you know, since things are heating up in the world all around, and since violence and separatism seem to be the way that so many people choose to react to the pressures of the times, we'll stay with the formula for world glamour, and we'll take the risk that everybody is working on their own glamorous, because that is a fundamental necessity, that we continue to work on our own glamorous, if we can see them, of course. That's the thing. Now, we've been reading a little bit about the glamour of hatred and separateness, and we will continue to do that because we have to understand what's going on. It's so easily justified in people's minds, but more in their emotional nature. They feel very right in condemning others. And DK said, as we attempt to do what is right, we cannot hate the haters, and we cannot fall into the vortex of hatred. as we attempt to justify our own point of view. This, I think I may have looked at this before, but basically it tells us that in the presence of him who has perfected harmlessness, all enmity ceases. Perfect poise, a completed point of view, and divine understanding. Those are the qualities that one achieves through harmlessness. A perfect poise, or at least they're necessary to the one who would be harmless. Perfect poise. These are all Libran qualities, if you think about it. A completed point of view. And divine understanding. Love and divine understanding. So interesting. You might not think that that is part of Libra, but the Tibetan gives that on page 333 of Esoteric Astrology. And it talks about the second ray qualities, basically, coming into Libra. So it's a great law, this particular approach, and it reminds us of the factor of projection. It's so easy to see in the other person what's really in oneself and not realize that it's in oneself, and DK really warns us about that. And let's just say in a Gemini country like ours, and where the sixth ray is so strong, you're going to get just wild projections. Everybody, because the psychological capacity is not very great yet, and so everything is externalized, and one does not look within and find that the very thing that one sees in the other person is what is within oneself. So in this sutra, DK is telling us that the perception of a characteristic, of a quality, and of an objective form is dependent upon the fact that in the perceiver, similar characteristics, qualities, and objective capacity are to be found. And this similarity is the basis of perception. It's a very, you know, strong psychological law. The same truth is hinted at in the Epistle of St. John, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the good that you have within you, you oftentimes see in other people, and there it is, and the evil, it's the same. Only that can be contacted which is already present or partially present in the perceiver's consciousness. It may not be to the same extent, he's telling us. But we do, you know, if we're going to get into the work of glamour here, we do have to see our own faults and how it is we may be seeing them in the environment and in the other people to whom we object. The conventions are filled with objection against others. And we'll take a look at the seeds of glamour. I think they're very interesting. If enmity and hatred are therefore to be found by the perceiver, it is because in him the seeds of enmity, maybe not full-blown perhaps, the seeds of enmity and hatred are present. When they are absent, naught but unity and harmony exists. And very interesting, the will to unity is the second ray. Will, the will to harmony is the fourth ray. Will, and right now humanity is governed by the conflicted fourth ray and by the knowledge-oriented fifth ray, probably its personality ray, its soul ray, ray four. But it won't be like that forever, and the rays of unity and of harmony will be, respectively, its soul ray, second ray, and its personality, fourth ray. So here we have naught but unity and harmony exist. This is the first stage of universal love, which is, you know, directly related to the ability to use the intuition. That's what DK tells us that intuition really is, the revelatory power of universal love. The first stage of universal love, the practical endeavor on the part of the aspirant to be one at one with all things. And I'd like to point out that, as DK says, harmony is the expression of the life of the man who realizes himself to be everywhere. You could stop right there, you could go off for a year and think about what that means. Who lives consciously, attempts to live consciously as a soul, whose nature is love, whose method is inclusiveness, and for whom all things are alike, in that they veil and hide the light, and are but externalizations of the one infinite being. So when you think about harmlessness, it's a tremendous power. And that is one of the great definitions of harmlessness, and it's so extremely occult, so extremely identificatory, if I can use that word. It just expresses a very high stage of identification, which all the masters on our particular planet have. So this is the first stage of universal love, the practical endeavor on the part of the aspirant to be at one with all things. He begins with himself and sees to it that the seeds of harmfulness in his own nature are eradicated. He deals, therefore, with the cause which produces enmity towards him and others, and the natural result is that he is at peace, and others are at peace with him. And, you know, so many of us are interested in peace in the world. This is a natural Libran kind of tendency, and Libra is getting stronger and stronger in the planetary horoscope, so DK says that's a very good thing. But peace, you know, that song, isn't it? Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. So it's a big psychological quest, this quest for peace. And until we're willing to look within and see some of the things maybe we'd rather not see, we're not going to be effective at all in bringing peace to the world. Or working with this glamour of warfare, which is one of the fourth-ray glamours. And since humanity is a fourth-ray kingdom, that's what we've got, you know. So we've got a lot of that mindless struggle under the influence of Maya and glamour. And this is interesting, of course, in the presence, in his presence then, the one who is really at peace and who has killed out or burned up the seeds of enmity within himself. In his presence, even wild beasts are rendered impotent, and this by the condition of the mind state of the aspirant or the yogin. Well, maybe not all tigers obey that kind of law. I remember a story about Master Moria chatting amiably and casually with somebody around a campfire, and there's the tiger about to, you know, circling above and ready to pounce, and the tiger pounces, leaps in midair at its prey, and Moria just holds up his hand, and the tiger falls dead. Well, maybe among some of the masters, that is a necessary first-ray technique, but humanity doesn't need that, or as Moria says, an impermissible fray would result. I want to just go to the seeds of glamour here, just remind us about these. He gives us things in threes because they're pretty easy to remember in that way. And he says, the three seeds of glamour, and you can see the rays in these. Criticism, self-pity, and suspicion. And when you look at our conventions and all of that, oh my God, it's filled with intense criticism of everybody. Nobody's immune. We're living in the blue and the red. It's not the blue and the gray like the Civil War, but interesting about the gray, of course, because a total decision was not made. Kind of an in-between place was tried to be sustained, but it wasn't good enough. We're dealing with the blue and the red, and the blue is Jupiter and Neptune, and the red is Mars. So it's obvious what has to prevail here. It's dealing with the heart center and with the solar plexus, and the solar plexus is the seat of so much glamour, whereas the heart center, with its affinity for pure reason, is not. It is the place where the glamour and illusion are dissipated. So, criticism, ray 3, self-pity, ray 2, suspicion, paranoia, and all the rest of it, ray 1. And you can see, you know, that our whole political process is filled with that. People are absolutely criticizing each other for, you know, on maybe some justifiable things, but a lot of externalities, and, you know, coming very close to falling into the great vortex of hatred as a result. Self-pity, well, so many people in society are feeling, aggrieved Nobody understands them. They're getting a raw deal. You know, if only a different government were in there, then their aggrievement would be solved. And suspicion, well, it's the first ray paranoia kind of thing, and you know, the old thing, people are trying to do unto you, you know, so you better do unto them first. And it's a kind of thing where you never trust another person because your own motives are rising within you, and then you're projecting them out, and you don't see them as part of yourself, and they are poor motives, they are selfish motives and violent motives, and you see in the other person and you suspect them. And that's going on in our political process too. So if we could just clean up our political process, and we could see it more in the psychological sense, and eventually in our country, the U.S., I'm talking U.S. a lot because of all of the commotion that's going on right now, it's very important what's going on. If we could clean that up and use the light of pure reason, we would have an entirely different political process, and it would affect the world in a positive manner. So those are three very, very important things. Look in yourself, you know, and just see, he tells us so much, the great second-rate glamour is self-pity. And then criticism, well, you know, China, it's interesting about China. China has a first-rate soul and a third-rate personality. And in the old days, and maybe it's true today, I don't know, in the communist days, very strong communist days, if you fell under criticism, as they called it, you were pretty well done. You were done politically, and you were done in terms of your life within that society. So criticism of the personality was very intense. And look at the third-rate personality of France. It's a similar thing. The French have this incredibly sharp intellect. And, you know, along with the Leo personality, it can be excruciatingly critical. So that's something to think about. Now, we're not going to be able to read all this or think about all this. Just keep these in your mind, okay? And I want to read one more thing, and then we'll open the floor up for a little discussion of this, and then we'll get on into our formula for combating world glamour, focusing particularly right now on the glamour of hatred and separativeness, or separation, as he calls it. Now, just bear in mind that the separation factor is called a glamour, but it is also the second head of the mental hydra, whereas hatred is the second head of the emotional glamours. You know, there are three tiers of heads under Scorpio, and so you have to deal with physical glamours or physical opposition, physical faults, whatever you want to call them, vices, if you want to call them that. The first three are physical vices. You know, the money, is it sex, money, and comfort, misuse of, you know, and then fear, hatred, and ambition, those are the emotional vices, and then pride, separativeness, and cruelty, and maybe those are the worst of all. So separativeness and hatred, they go together, and at this time, well, you know, the atmosphere is poisoned by all that at the moment, and, you know, we have to really do our best to counteract that internally and not ourselves. You know, it's such a tendency to get so political. You know, I'm all for this one and not for that one, and I hate this candidate, and I love this candidate, and that's that sixth-ray polarization thing. And that's just what DK warns us against. Now, I'm going to go all the way down here to something I also, yeah, it's a challenge. I'm going to read this, and then we'll have a chance maybe to ask questions or, you know, offer our points of view, and then we'll get into the meditation. I challenge all workers and all members of the new group of world servers to leave their personal problems behind. Okay. This is a time of crisis. Now, he was writing back there in the war period, but, you know, has it changed? the promise of a global crisis is even more terrifying now than it was then, because of the weaponry and the fanaticism. This is a time of crisis, and such problems must be solved through complete self-forgetfulness. Self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech, right? The mantra of the new group of world servers. I ask you to work anew with fresh ardor in joyful service, forgetting past weaknesses and failures in the urgency of that which I ask all to do for the world. There has been much lack of joy in the service rendered to the world lately. When I speak this, I refer not to happiness. Speak thus, I refer not to happiness, which is a personality reaction, but to that joyous confidence in the law and in the hierarchy which lies behind the biblical words, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." That's a very occult statement. You know, and rise up and fight, Arjuna. Well, we're all Arjuna. We're all in the fourth ray, and humanity is Arjuna. Rise up and fight, Arjuna. And but this is the key. This is the key right here. And this is what we have to be very careful about in this very acrimonious political process which is about to, is taking place, preserving the flame of love intact, permitting no breath of hate to disturb the serenity of love or upset that inner poise which will enable you to sound forth the clarion note of world understanding. There it is, all that harmlessness kind of thing, right? It's the divine understanding, it's the poise, it's the serenity, it's those Libran virtues, isn't it? That clarion note of world understanding that will rally men and women to goodwill to the aid of the hierarchy. And then this is very important. This will bring to an end all hatred, separativeness, and aggression, which are the three major sins of humanity. Let's read that again. This will bring to an end, you know, if we can not let the breath of hate disturb the serenity of love. It's very Christ-like, isn't it? The calmness forever unperturbed, the serenity of love, the inner poise, which will allow us to sound forth the clarion note of world understanding, you know, the seed of divine understanding. And this will bring to an end all hatred, separativeness, and aggression, which are the three major sins of humanity. So ponder on those sins, look in yourself, you know, hatred, separativeness, and aggression, and then we have criticism, self-pity, and paranoia or suspicion. All men have hated. All men have been separative in both thought and action. All have been, and many still are, materialistic, full of pride, and the desire to gain that which is not their own by right. This spirit of acquisitiveness belongs to no one group. It has been a universal and general fault. You know, it's a Thetorian thing, and he warns us that we could be reinitiated into the earth, if we're not careful, could set us back another 3,000 years. It has been a universal and general fault and has produced the present disastrous economic situation, thus precipitating the world into war, hate, and cruelty. Now, this was World War II, but the disastrous economic situation, if you look at Venezuela and some of the other countries, you know, that are tied to one commodity and then it goes down in the world market, and what happens, you know, then emerges all this terrible social condition. So we have many, many problems to solve all along the economic and, well, along all the seven ashramic lines. Now, I think that's all that I'm going to read right now. You know, every one of these is so important along the line of separativeness and hatred and things of that nature. And we just have not to always point the finger at the other guy, because really, psychologically, we have to know that it's in us as well. And the initiate becomes acquainted, D.K. tells us, with the depth of hatred the depth of evil, and not only in the world, but within himself. And that's what makes the person truly an initiate. That happened to Swami Vivekananda in the ice cave. He underwent some kind of, I think he was passing through the fourth initiation or something of that nature, and he saw the incredible opposites and how the two, the good and evil, were indispensable to each other. And it's all God, you know, so it's difficult to say, you know, God is good, of course, you know, our planetary logos and all of these, but the manifestations to take in with the, to participate in the pantheistic pervasion of God, well, God is the one identity behind it all, so the good and evil have to be dealt with. But there is the evil of ignorance, which is unavoidable, and then there is the deliberate, willful, plan-countering evil that is characteristic of the Black Lodge. Okay. Okay, friends, so I've ranted on here a bit, and do you have any questions that you would, or any thoughts you'd like to put forward? There's this paragraph we've looked at, and then I can't get them both on the same page, unfortunately. This is such really interesting stuff here, but we can't do it all, you know. We'll continue because well, let us just say the separativeness of the human being is going to continue very intensely, and we're going to be dealing with that as we go along. Excuse me. Okay. Thoughts, questions, comments? Okay, Carl. You go ahead, Carl.
Yes, I can't help but thinking as we tune in to this, these webinars dealing with this subject, that there is that pervasive sense that we are working under the law of love. I mean, it's palatable. I can feel it.
Yeah. I think you're right. You know, it's one of the seven systemic laws, the law of love. And you would think it, you know, would be, of course it's connected with the second ray, law of attraction, and all that. But the sixth one of the systemic laws is called the law of love. And it really emphasizes how we have to transform our emotional likes and dislikes, which are so passionate and often so unthinking, into this broad and inclusive love, or let's call it loving understanding. That's so important, you know, because it puts the wisdom and understanding aspect together with the love. And it is a dual ray. So, yeah, that's what we're trying to do. And many of us, as I say, not all of us, of course, but many of us are in the United States whose rays are the second and the sixth. And when you're dealing with glamour, those are the two rays that really bring you into that field. And also the fifth ray will help. Yeah, so I agree with you, Carl. We'll try to keep that in the air during this process and for the next number of years. We cannot think that when this political maelstrom is over, that things will get easier. The next 9 are going to be some of the toughest that humanity has ever gone through, and we see harbingers of this occurring. So we'll work. We'll work and do our best. Thank you for your thought. Okay, and Vera, you go ahead, Vera.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Because last month, I'm just having really a rotten time here, and I was thinking, what's happening? There is not much sort of in outside world objectivity for the way I felt, and I was miserable last night, and actually just brought it home because that I perceive that which is within me. So I was. You gave me the answer today, so that's wonderful.
Okay, well, good. You know, thank you, Avira. The very first thing we're told in the treatise on white magic is inquire the way. You know, and then we're supposed to obey the soul promptly, and we're supposed to not give a lot of attention to worldly advice, because it's strictly worldly advice, and then we're supposed to all set an example. But that very first one, inquire the way. We're all asking questions. That's one of the big ways of building the Antikarana. The Antikarana is ruled by Mercury, and that is the questioning planet. And of course, the environment will give us the answer to those questions, and the inner promptings from our intuition and from our experience will give us the answer to those questions. Sometimes we think that the other person is somehow answering our question, but really it's our own recognition of something that comes from within, and that's how our questions get answered. So Master DK, he says this about what a master is. And it's such a beautiful idea. He says a master is the rare efflorescence, meaning the rare flowering of a generation of inquirers. A generation of question askers, inquirers, and the master is one who has learned how to answer those questions from the soul level and from the spirit level. So thus we proceed. We do have the answer to our own questions, but often we recognize them in the outer world. Both are necessary for us at our present point of view, present stage of evolution. Thank you, Vera. Thank you, Vera. Where are you, in New Zealand? Or where are you?
New Zealand.
Yeah, okay. Wow, okay. Well, it's a reasonable time of day in New Zealand, isn't it? I saw Claire here, too. And, you know, the poor people in Brazil or in the United States or wherever, you know. Anyway, nice to see you here. Any other thoughts or questions?
Yes.
Yeah, Brett, yeah. Go ahead.
We have two questions from Celeste. Why do we seal the door where evil dwells instead of embracing and irradiating evil to transform it, as Swami Vivekananda saw them together?
Hey, well, you know, it's a really good question, and some people say, well, it's not psychologically sound to seal the door where evil dwells. But here's my impression of this, Celeste. That evil, focused from the cosmic astral plane, and focused right here in a place called in Agni Yoga they call it Mara Kara, the place of Mara, the place of evil and illusion, is so powerful, and humanity is relatively so weak, that what we have to do as a first step before really dealing with it in the way you're talking about is drive it back off the etheric physical plane. You know, read Rule 10. There's a special meditation there, how you have to drive the evil back out of the ethers onto the astral plane and keep it retained there and clean up the ethers first. And then there will be, when we're stronger, because, you know, a lot of people say, well, just go in there and deal with the Black Lodge. No, you don't do that, because they will destroy you, okay, you know, with no mercy. So, you know, as a matter of fact, when I'm thinking about real heroism, in the Agni Yoga books, there was a discussion about how Madame Rorik, you know, very first ray, obviously, first ray and sixth ray, I think, very strong, went in on the astral plane, out of the body, into a meeting of the Black Lodge and assured them of their destruction and walked out intact. So, if you know, that's got to be a lot more heroism than even fighting in a war with weapons and all that. So people get the Congressional Medal of Honor, and I think, you know, Madame Rorik deserves that Congressional Esoteric Medal of Honor or something to pull something like that off. So the idea is, well, this is my impression. Deal with the evil within ourselves. We understand it. We bring it into light. We transform it. But they're too powerful for us to go in there and try to do anything like that with the Black Lodge. DK advised, do not send love to the forces of evil He meant Hitler and his evil gang, you know, the seven. Do not send love to them because it's an impersonal energy and they will just use it for evil purposes. So this is pretty tough talk, I realize, but we have to realize what we're up against, because some of those forces are just the masters themselves are having difficulty handling them, and Shambhala is the place from where they are handled. So when dealing with planetary evil, with the evil of ignorance, okay, we understand it, we transform it, we see the virtue in it, but stay away from those forces which have to be kept away from humanity until we're strong enough to deal with them. That's my impression. I know we could talk for an hour about it. Okay, Celeste, that's what I have to say about it.
Michael?
Yes.
Celeste also asks, what does it mean to seal the door?
Well, okay. Maybe I answered that a little bit. It means to remain impervious to those forces and not allow them to enter the etheric physical plane. Because if you can undermine the whole physical basis of humanity, you know, usually the occultist works from above down, but if you can destroy, disorganize, create chaos, create panic, create fear, then a door is tremendously open for the influx of all kinds of evil forces, and they will gain their foothold on the dense physical plane. We have to seal them away from the etheric physical plane and retain them upon the astral plane, and emotionally have so much heart that we are not subject to their obsessing influences. That's what Master Moria says. He says, if you want to be free of obsession, and those are the great obsessing forces there, Master Moria calls them the dark whisperers, okay, whatever those voices, you open your heart. The heart will drive away the possibility of obsession, and it will also prevent them from entering into practical effectiveness on the physical plane. Yes, on the level, there's still Marakara. The Tibetan had the Buddha. He had to deal with that. For 48 hours, he had to, under the Bodhi tree, he had to deal with the forces of Mara. And so do we. But look, he was a sixth-degree initiate, right? And we're not. So we deal with what we have here, but we keep more from coming in by keeping the ethers clean, by driving evil back onto the astral plane from whence it came, and just holding firm that we will not allow it to enter the field of action. Thus it is sealed on the astral plane, and then in another 300 or 400 years, under Vulcan, there's going to be a huge assault by humanity on glamour, on world glamour, and maybe we'll be able to deal with that better. That's what I think this word sealing means. Okay, Celeste. Anything else there, Brett?
Celeste says, that helps. Thanks.
Okay, good. Good. You know, I mean, I've been saying, oh, look at you. What's the great invocation? It's just a bunch of nonsense. Every psychologist knows that you cannot seal evil away, because then it will just act on you. You know, you're talking in the personality, right? You ignore, you repress, you suppress the bad things that are in yourself, and they're going to find some way to get out. Well, that's the personal psychological point of view, and of course that's true. You've got to know everything in yourself microcosmically which could work out as evil. But let's have a sense of proportion. Master Moria said this, either Helena Rourke or Master Moria says, you trouble yourself with a few minor demons when the daggers of Satan are aimed at our backs. So we all know the good definition of Satan is the host of solar angels, but what is meant here is these demonic forces. The hierarchy from Shambhala is dealing with them. So let's not be fools rushing in where angels fear to tread. Otherwise, you know, we'll become what Moria calls a tasty morsel for the Satanists. It's not a very appealing picture, and we just have to have a sense of proportion. Okay. I guess Scorpio must be coming up here pretty soon. I feel that energy a little bit. I wonder where we are with all that. I'm just going to quickly take a look astrologically. Well, we're still in Aquarius a little bit, but Pisces. Yeah, we have this almost stationary Mars in Scorpio at this time. It's a bloody time, and Mars has been retrograde, and now it's is going direct, but it's still in the sign of war. It is Scorpio. Okay, anything else that we have there, Brett?
Nothing.
Otherwise, we can get on. Nothing immediate? Is anything any of the staff would like to say or anything of that nature? You're welcome. Excuse me. Well, okay. Look, so I say we take the risk, you know. I mean, all of us have glamours. I guess, do I dare get into this? There's not really much time. I've talked a long time. But they'll hang on. I want to deal with the glamours of the sixth ray, but I want to give it sufficient time, and there isn't sufficient time right now. So the next time we meet, we'll deal with these glamours, and here they are, you know, the saviors and teachers, the narrow vision, the fanaticism. That's the one we really have to watch out for now, the fanaticism. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that, but not right now. All right, let's go on. So this is the formula for the dissipation of group and world glamour. We could study this a long time. And the members of DK's group of nine, you know, which was supposed to be like the trained observers of the dissipation of glamour group, they were given quite a teaching over a long period of time. And it surfaced, of course, in the book Glamour, A World Problem. So we have lots to study and lots to apply. So let's begin. We have to adapt it a little bit because we're not a small group. You know, we're not a group of nine. So we'll adapt just a little bit. So the first thing is that we find ourselves aligned with the soul. We quiet the personality. In all aspects, so that it is not in a positive state, but it is negative to the soul energies, meaning receptive to them. And wherever we are, you know, all over the world, New Zealand and America and Europe, we come together in the state of soul. We're working as a group of increasingly soul-infused personalities. And we reinforce each other in the state of soul because this is how we will have the power to deal with these problems of world glamour. It has to be done really by a group. Now, let's just have a little bit of silence. We can't have 10 minutes of silence right now, and we cannot name all the group members, but we will have, we think of each other And as we work, you know, week after week, I know not everyone will show up at every session, but there will be a continuity overall, and we will be an effective group working on these things. And I trust it will have to be done for some years. Now, we have the protective formula, and we're going to, as we say, we'll make the sign of the cross, as he says, touching the center of the forehead, then the center of the chest, and each of the two eyes, thus forming the long-limbed cross of the Christ, or of divine humanity. It's not just a Christian symbol, but a symbol of light and consciousness, and signifies the vertical light and the horizontal light, the power of attraction, the power of radiation, soul life and service. It's not to be made as the Catholic Church now makes it, with forehead, heart, and two shoulders. That's the cross of matter closer to the swastika. So this is what DK says, how we're to make the sign of the cross. And we can do this as we say these words together, the protective formula. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. And these formulas are much needed because we're dealing with very resistant chamomanasic states. So we prepare, as we did for the individual glamour, the light of the lower two vehicles, physical and emotional, are raised up into the mind. We use the imagination to see this. And there meets the light of mind within the mental body. And the light of the soul, we can picture it how we will. Some picture it, you know, as a light above the head with a causal body or egoic lotus, some light of a superior kind. We become aware that it is real. And now the two lights which have been brought to the mental plane or are focused on the mental plane are met by the descending light of the soul. And we will, as we see this happening, we will sound an om. Fusion of lights has occurred in the imagination, at least. A triple light now shines forth upon the mental plane, still retained, but brighter and brighter. And we say, the light is one, and in that light we shall see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Oh. so three lights are united. The protective formula has been sounded. We work in that light and do not deviate from standing in the center of the light. And now we can say together, as we begin the actual formula, radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. And we visualize that great searchlight we have created, and it's going to turn its light on the astral plane, not into our astral body, but onto the astral plane. The light goes forth onto the astral plane. And behind this light must stand the spiritual will. So we invoke from the sacrifice petals, from the synthesis petals, from the very center of the egoic lotus, and from the plane of Atma, fed by monadic will, we invoke the descent into our light and behind our light of the spiritual will. Say together, as this spiritual will is invoked, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. And we will name the glamour to be dissipated. We'll call it hatred and separativeness, linking those two glamours. There may be subtle distinctions, of course. There's a greater mental content in separativeness, but we'll think of them for practical purposes together. So, we will utter these words of power, naming the glamour, seeing the beam of light, the broad beam, with power upon the beam, and we will say together, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of hatred and separation. of our united light negates the quality of the glamour of hatred and separation from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind this clamor. As we're doing this, and we continue to do it, we will sound the Om 3 times, visualizing the light penetrating into the glamour and producing its weakening and dissipation. Obviously, we have to make this work in our own lives if we can be, or hope to be, effective in the larger sense. So now, 5 minutes of silence and intensity of purpose whilst the work is seen proceeding. it's obvious that love and unity are the opposites of hate and separateness. And wherever it is said in yoga that a bad quality appears, then there must be the creating of those thoughts which run counter to the evil thought. Love and unity, the two future rays of humanity, run counter to hatred and separateness. So now we withdraw our attention from the astral plane. We take it back to the mental plane. We retract this searchlight, the triple beam of destruction and dissipation of glamour. We retract it onto the mental plane. And while we cannot sound the Om individually by each member, working in smaller groups, we can do that. We can all sound the Om together three times, confirming our work. Friends, what I'm going to do is just basically leave it at that. I think the time for our discussion, you know, will be sort of in the center of our threefold process here. And if you have questions about the meditation, et cetera, then please bring them up the next time that we get together. And let's see, today is the 22nd, so it'll be the 29th, Friday. The 29th, this is the AM, so it'll be the PM time, 5 PM GMT, if you can. And we'll close with the mantra of the new group of world servers, which, all I have to do is find it. I see the problem. It's not in the glamour book. It's in another book. There it is. So this is the 5 o'clock mantra. We'll close with this, and recognizing the importance of self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech. Again, the three major rays emphasized in order. one life pour through the group of all true servers. May the love of the one soul characterize the lives of all who seek to aid the great ones. May we fulfill our part in the one work through self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech. I want us all to remember that this is the day of the Leo ingress. The sun moves into Leo, and I think it's at GMT 10 something. So I'll see if I can find that. Sorry, I should have had this ready for you. But there it is. And you know, it's at 9:30 in GMT. 9:30 in the morning and 10 seconds GMT. Another 3 hours or so, 3 hours and 15 minutes, so do remember that and maybe mark the moment for yourself, because it's a time when the power of your identity will emerge. Not just a personality, but also the soul. I am that. Eventually, the sense of identification with all beings. I am that I am. And we will continue, do our best at least, to continue tomorrow with the invocation of the souls of nations, also in the morning. Now, we've been having a little trouble with our broadcasting system, which is we have an expert coming in this weekend, and if we cannot pull it off tomorrow morning, then we can't, but we're going to give it a try. And then on Sunday, the invocation of money, attraction of money for spiritual purposes. Certainly by next week, when we start the triangles meditation, we hope to have all these matters solved. So thank you very much for your attendance. And, you know, hold the beam, and you can practice the beam at different times. It doesn't only have to be once a week. It can be almost instantaneous. Pull the three lights together, sound the protective formula, see the dissipation going on. We need it at this time. Well, for the next 9 years and beyond. Okay, everybody, thank you, and good morning, good evening, good day, and bye-bye.